present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sowell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello. Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the programme that is to comedy what the falling horse chestnut leaf is to the Intercity 125. This week we're in the Paris studio in London, and when I say we, I'm sadly not referring to Tim Brooke Taylor, who's unfortunately been misdirected to the London studio in Paris. Instead, please welcome back on my right Paul Merton. And with him, Willie Rushton. And on my left, Graham Garden and Barry Crumb. Unfortunately, the lovely Samantha, our long-time scorer, can't be with us today as she's been accidentally signed up for Nottingham Forest. Anyway, so will you welcome instead, by popular demand, the delightful Sven. Our first round is called Missed Hits. And if the oversensitive Samantha's listening, I said missed hits. In order to have a hit these days, whether it be a play, a musical, a film, a song, or a book, one of the chief requirements is that it should have a good title. With this in mind, teams, I'd like you please to come up with some suggestions for the titles of what would have been almost certain failures. Barry, will you start, please?
John and Norma's Amazing Adventure.
Serrano to Basingstoke.
Graham.
Cagney and Lassie.
Indiana Jones and the VAT Returns.
Where to Eat in Deal.
Look Back in Ongar.
W.H. Smith, the movie.
Edward Fingerhands.
Bernard Manning and Friends, a one-man show.
Jeffrey Bernard is fit and well.
Kiss of the Cider Woman.
Okay, any more?
Alan Titchmarsh, the early years.
Right, we'll carry on now like greyhounds unleashed into the next round. Shakespeare once wrote, "The man that hath not music in himself is fit for treasons, stratagems, and spoils." On the plus side, however, such a man is ideally placed to get the most out of 20 party greats by black lace, and more than qualified to take part in our next round. It's called The Singer and the Song. In it, teams, I shall give you each a song which I'd like you to sing in the style of a famous personality. You'll be accompanied on the piano by Colin Sell, who will be assuming the identity of Vladimir Ashkenazi. Should be almost impossible to tell them apart. Graham, your song is Raining in My Heart in the style of Ian McCaskill, please.
Hello. The sun is out. The sky is blue. There's not a cloud to spoil the view, but it's raining. Raining in my heart. And parts of East Anglia. The weatherman says clear today. He doesn't know you've gone away. And it's raining. Yes, it's raining in my heart, but clearing northwards by tomorrow. Oh, misery. Misery. That depression moving east. What's going to become of me? Hello. They mustn't show. But soon these tears are bound to flow, 'cause it's raining. Yes, it's raining in my heart, turning to sleet on high ground. Bye-bye.
Okay, Paul. Paul, here's one right up your street. Gilly Gilly, Austin Pfeffer, Cats and Ellen and Bogan by the Sea, as Elvis Presley.
Right.
There's a tiny house, just a tiny house, by a tiny stream, by a tiny stream, where lovely lands, where lovely lands, nice, 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 and warm, so slow. Where lovely dream, and dream can control us, and 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 guess one's ears. And Gilly Gilly, Austin Fairbairn, Cats, and Ellen and Bogan by the Sea.
And that's the best I can do, I'm afraid.
I thought that was very good. I began to think he really is alive, after all.
No, that's the way he sounds now, I think.
Barry, here's your song. Send in the Clowns, in the style of Jack Woolley from The Archers.
Isn't it rich? Are we a pair, Caroline? Me here at last on the ground, you in midair. Are you sure this is in the Kama Sutra? Send in the clowns. Not now, Jean-Paul. Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? Don't look at me like that, Caroline. One who keeps tearing around, one who can't move. Oh, that Peggy and Con, there's been a lot of talk. Where are the clowns? Send in the clowns. I ordered them 3 weeks ago. It's not good enough for it.
Right, and Willie, your song is Run, Rabbit, Run, in the style of Michael Heseltine.
Run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run, run. I wish I was Minister of Fun, fun, fun. You don't get laid if you're not in the Board of Trade. So run, rabbit, run, rabbit, run, run.
Well, judging from the applause from the audience, the scores are that you've all done extremely well on that one, and we go on to a round called Children's Classics. It's been widely noted nowadays that children are finding it increasingly hard to interest themselves in the classics of English literature. Main complaints are that such works are either too long or that young people today simply can't identify with the characters. With this in mind, I'd like you teams to provide us with some children-friendly versions of certain literary classics. Going to start with you, Barry and Graham. You'll start with a classic in the horror series, Dracula.
Great. Where shall we go for our holidays? Jonathan Harker said to his friend Lucy. I know, Transylvania. So off they went.
They've been walking for hours and hours and, I am tired, said Lucy. Let's stop somewhere for the night. So she knocked on the door of this great big castle.
Yes, and the castle belonged to Count Dracula. Well, in the night, he came up to Lucy's room. I've brought you some cocoa, he said, as he bent over the bed.
Next morning... Jonathan said, look at those marks on your neck, Lucy. I think you ought to go and see the doctor.
So, next day, bright and early, she went to see nice Dr. Van Helsing. What big teeth you've got, he said. And he gave her a steak and garlic.
Well, after she was buried, Lucy just wouldn't leave Jonathan alone. And the moral of this story is, look after your teeth, children, and your sex life will take care of itself.
OK, your turn, Paul and Willie. Your classic is Lady Chatterley's Lover.
Once upon a time, round about 1916, Lord Chatterley had his manhood shot off at the front. That's where it is. Yeah.
When Lord Chatterley returned home, he tried and tried, but nothing happened. And Lady Chatterley became very, very sad.
She tried to kill herself by throwing herself under the Queen Mother.
Then one day, she was walking through the woods when she came across Mellors, the goalkeeper. In his Chelsea strip. And with a lot of chickens.
"Wah," said Mellors, the goalkeeper. "You be so lovely, Lady Chatterley, I am going to give you one." And he gave her a chicken.
One day, Lady Chatterley was quietly toe-sucking. This little piggy went to Maastricht. When Mellors came in and said, "Why are you sucking your own toes?"
"I'm a lonely woman," she said. "You're always out, keeping goal. I'm going to go and live in a shoe with Bill Wyman."
And so Mellors went off and sold his Kiss and Tell memoirs to the News of the World and lived happily ever after. Yes.
Right, well, while Sven's busily totting up a score, we'll go on to our next game. Teams, I'd like you please to take it in turns to be boring. However, to prevent it becoming just like any other round on this program, I shall ask you to imagine that you're at a party. I'd like you teams to take it in turns to be extremely dull guests. The opposing team should attempt to question this boring couple about their jobs and try to make them say something interesting. Points will be deducted for being interesting or appearing to enjoy yourself. Barry and Graham, you're our first party boars, and you are Michael Palin's film crew.
Hello.
My word. What a tremendously exciting time you must have had, going as you did from round the world in 80 days.
Samey, really.
Yes.
Samey going round. I mean, basically.
Well, of course, most recently you've gone north to south, then pole to pole.
Very similar, very,
very similar.
Similar
poles. They look very alike.
Yes, but the bit in the middle must have been tremendously exciting.
Didn't notice that,
did you? I wasn't paying attention.
Wasn't paying
that.
Attention. But
I thought the high point was probably travelling across Alaska. The 743 from Nome changed anchorage. An excellent service, but if you get on the stopping train, funnily enough, you can make your way to Calgary in one step for only about 3 hours less travelling time.
We were coming up to Calgary, do you remember? He was running 5 minutes late.
Michael was.
No, 5 minutes late, that's
all of us. And they made up the time. We arrived in Calgary on time.
On time.
Michael Palin must be a tremendously exciting person to work with.
But who? Michael, that one that they...
What, the one that kept taking his clothes off? I can't look at another hot cross bun, I can tell you that.
So how many miles did you cover in this trip from pole to pole?
Oh, that wasn't our job, the mileage.
All of them. All of them.
All of them.
Covered every one, I think, didn't we?
Yes.
We'd okay, say, Barry and
by,
Graham.
That's,
by and
that's another mile covered, we'd
by
say.
By and large.
Sorry to interrupt, but your 15 seconds are up. I'm going to take off 10 points there, I think, because you sounded a little bit too enthusiastic when you were talking about the flight details. You enjoyed that, don't you agree?
Yeah.
I don't care whether you agree or not. Your turn now, Paul and Willie. You're going to be Madonna's roadies. Barry and Graham, start questioning.
How many miles did you travel on?
All of them, I think, isn't it?
Must have been like living on top of a volcano with Madonna, wasn't it?
No, it's mainly a lot of hump in the job.
Yeah.
Yeah. To and fro.
Humping the equipment.
A lot of polishing.
It's polishing.
Buffing up, you know.
Yeah.
And polishing.
Yeah.
What were you polishing?
Sharpening.
Yes.
Occasionally whittling.
Yeah. You must have met a lot of famous people through your association with her.
Wilfred Hyde White.
Was this recently?
that bloke who used to be in the...
Tall bloke.
Yeah, the tall one. We met him, didn't we? Yeah.
Tweed.
A lot of parties, I suppose, after the show.
He was at one of these parties we met him. That's what we're trying to...
He's very tall, the tall one.
Wasn't Walter Pidgeon.
They must have got a bit wild, these parties, sometimes, but out of hand.
Well, the Ribena run out once, didn't it?
So, what did you go on to?
I think it was Kiora, wasn't it?
some drug, I don't know. Yeah. I just can't face the hypodermic, quite frankly. I couldn't have that.
Were you two actually in bed with Madonna in their famous sequence?
Intravenous Kiora is a bit much, quite frankly.
We were in bed, but then so many other people were, you know. I mean, she gave us away from the far end.
I was a good 10 away, quite frankly.
I mean, I was in a different time zone.
And while we leave them droning on, we'll...
You're in the book,
are
I'm
you?
In the book, yeah.
We'll go on to a round entitled Good News, Bad News. In this round, one team will start by announcing an item of good news, to which the opposing team should reply with the corresponding bad news and so on and so forth, till I've had enough when you'll hear this. Unless, of course, you hear this.
I'm too sexy for my love.
Which means that Sven's been making good use of this partially transparent lycra body stocking. I'm going to start with you. Give us some good news, please.
Oh, right. Good news, the Queen's recovered from her cold.
Bad news, she went home and sat in front of an open fire.
Okay, Willie, here's one for you. Start with the good news, please.
Good news. Andrew Lloyd Webber's new musical is Sunset Boulevard.
Bad news. Now, think about it. How are they going to write a number for the leading man face down in a swimming pool?
Good news. Good news. That's how Lloyd Webber usually writes his numbers.
Bad news. The chorus goes...
Good news, which roughly translated means don't cry for me, Robert Maxwell.
Bad news, Oliver Reed's playing the hero.
Was that bad news?
Face down in a swimming pool.
Good news, he's drained it.
Bad news, oh, he's filled it again.
Okay, Barry, you did pretty well there, so it's your turn now. Start with some good news, please.
Good news. The mousetrap's been running for 40 years.
Bad news, the policeman did it.
Okay.
I went 40 years ago and there's a photograph outside of Rich Canberra strangling Sheila Sim. I never understand. The mystery was they got away with it.
That should stop it running another 40 years.
Well, really, no.
Graham, you haven't had a turn yet, so start with some good news. Oh, yes, you have had a turn.
I'll have another.
Paul, you haven't started. No, would you start with Graham here?
I'll have another.
Give us some good news, Graham, for God's sake.
Some really good news. Well, it's hard to find in this day and age, isn't it? Good news. Norman Lamont refuses to go.
Bad news, he's been in there for hours.
Good news, he says the economy is showing green shoots.
Bad news, that's mildew.
Good news, mildew has rallied against the Irish punt.
What was that last word?
Punt.
Punt.
Punt, Paul.
Bad news, pity this isn't an ad-lib poem.
OK, we're going to go on for a round which is entitled Unhelpful Tour Guides, with its clean beaches, impregnable old castles, eh? And reliable transport system. Britain holds many attractions for the first-time visitor to these shores. Teams, I'd like you please to act as tour guides around a particular item of British heritage to an assorted group of inexperienced foreign tourists. Start off, Paul and Willie.
Oh, Stonehenge. People... visiting Stonehenge, they'll admire your knowledge if you stand in the middle of Stonehenge and shout out very loudly and knowledgeably, "Of course, this was a cinema until the roof fell in."
And impress the locals with your attempts to start the domino effect by pushing the first stone over.
You can always refute any allegation that the place will actually shortly be restored to its previous glory at the taxpayers' expense.
During the annual winter solstice celebrations, why not join in on the traditional urinating against the policeman's leg?
While dressed as a druid.
Yes.
That's enough advice about Stonehenge for tourists.
Barry and Graham, your landmark is Christie's.
The auction house.
Thank you.
We were given now as they chose
place, isn't it?
Just a bit of helpful advice, Humph. Helpful advice. Bring your own gavel. It's an old English tradition to tickle the man holding the Ming. It's considered polite to catch the auctioneer's eye and give him a friendly nod or a wink. You'll see paintings leaning against the wall. Please take one. The best way to appreciate a Fabergé egg is to boil it for 6 minutes and then crack it open with a spoon. Visitors are invited to add witty captions to the Leonardo cartoons. When the man shouts "going for the first time," you're supposed to shout back, "you do," and you'll clean it up yourself.
The end.
The end.
Okay. Okay, now we're going to have a musical round now.
Oh, gosh.
Teams, I'd like you to perform a musical duet. That's each pair of you. For the task, you'll each be supplied with two suitable instruments. For one, the haunting lyricism of the Swanee whistle. For the other, the impudent harmony of the kazoo. And as you ponder the Arcadian prospect of this tantalizing polyphonic serenade, teams, you may as well know that you'll be accompanied on the piano by Colin Sell. Greeted with a spontaneous round of silence from the audience. Harry and Graham, will you play "Anything You Can Do" for us, please? No, I'm going to rephrase that. Will you play for us "Anything You Can Do"? And that'll be Barry Cryer on kazoo and Graham Garden on Swanee Whistle.
What? This kazoo's damp.
Despite the enthusiastic response of the audience, I'm going to take off 5 points there. I heard one or two, I heard one or two wrong notes from Colin Sell. Paul and Willie, will you please play "Indian Love Call"? And your rendition will feature Willie Rushton on kazoo and Paul Merton on Swanee Whistle.
Thanks.
If you're listening, Tim, you can stop worrying. Anyway, that's almost it for this week, though there's just time, I notice, for a quick game of Farmer's Film Club. For this round, teams, I'd like you please to suggest some films likely to be popular with an audience of farmers.
Well, an audience who's got farmers through sitting through long films.
There's one. Bring me the head of John Selwyn Gummer.
My left foot and mouth.
The sheep that died of shame.
And a double bill with Joseph and his amazing Technicolor Dream Goat.
Fatal Attractor.
The Texas Combine Harvester Massacre.
An officer and a gentle hen. Or the one about the farmer who's paranoid that his herd of cows are taunting him behind his back to kill a mocking herd.
Beef Encounter.
Jagged Hedge.
Gat on a hot tin roof.
Or the dairy of a madman. Starring Hayley Milk, Lol Cream, and Whoopi Goldtop.
Ambridge Too Far.
Gerard Depardieu in Green Cud.
But reluctant as I am, teams.
Strictly Barn Dance.
Silage of the Lambs. Oh, the compost man always rings twice.
Teams, I'm afraid that really is.
There's My Beautiful Turkey Burgerette.
That really is.
Fur Heifer Amber.
That really is all for this week, so until next time, from the team, Sven and myself, goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Willie Rushton and Paul Merton were being given silly things to do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sowell setting some of them to music. The programme was produced by John Naismith.